Let's say good morning to Jason Cairns, the best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, a couple of different times now, there's been something really cool or fun that has taken place on the morning show on a Thursday or a Friday, a pastor appreciation from Friday, or when I was in Green Bay back in August, they did, if you could be on a TV show for a month, which one would you choose or something? And twice I've tried to trot those out on Saturday and just not the same response. I mean, people are kind of used to participating with the morning show, the weekday, but like on Saturday, they're like, yeah, that's all right. We'll pass. So, yeah. How was your weekend?
To do on the weekend, I guess.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I was a little bit tired, but homecoming was Friday and Saturday, and so Ian went to the dance on Saturday and had to sing on Friday and play on Friday, so I was busy. My wife was a superstar, just kind of carting kids around and whatnot. But
nice.
I got some free flowers from my garden, so I planted those yesterday afternoon, and pretty typical weekend. I'm looking forward to the cooler weather.
It's coming. It's coming. And, 2 weeks from today, the release of Letters to the Beloved, right?
I've heard that, yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that coming out. I have this fear that it's going to be somewhat anticlimactic, with the book coming out and then thinking, oh, that was fun. Now what do I do with my life? And I hope to get it into people's hands and that they're blessed by what I have had to share there and whatnot. So,
a devotional commentary on the entire New Testament. All right. Well, Mental Health Monday is what we try to do here. And so, I don't know, a few different things. Let's take them in the order that I threw out suggestions to you.
Yeah.
One is, I think, wasn't yesterday Mental Health Day or something like that?
Yep.
World Mental Health Day.
Yeah. So, yep. So, October 10, also my dad's birthday, World Mental Health Day. And, so when we think about mental health, so that can, I think, stir up lots of different thoughts or impressions that people might have. And, it's really about how are we engaging in not only caring for ourselves, right, and caring for ourselves as vessels of God's Spirit, emotionally and whatnot, but also I think in recognition of those places and times when things can go awry in terms of mental health issues. And we've touched on some of those things regarding like depression and anxiety and various things like that. And so I think it's a big recognition of the importance of dealing not only with physical health, but with mental health as well. And so it's nice to have that recognized and called out.
Yeah.
We should do that every day, but.
And I think it is good. Getting more respect and attention. Wall Street Journal article I sent you, digital addictions are drowning us in dopamine. Rising rates of depression and anxiety in wealthy countries like the U.S. may be a result of our brains getting hooked on the neurotransmitter associated with pleasure.
Yeah. So the this has been something people have been talking about for a few years, right? I mean, more than a few. But so what they're finding more and more is that as you get on the Facebook or social media, you get these little dopamine hits. These neurotransmitters fire. And so we go back and back and back again to kind of continue to get that hit of dopamine. But over time, our tolerance for that builds up. And this is the same drug or the same neurotransmitter that's involved in various addictive behaviors, including drug use, binge eating, sugar, that sort of thing. But what ends up happening is when, you get the hit of dopamine and then it drops off and then it leads to this, kind of counteractive, depression or anxiety. And, it was one thing when it was, the internet was primarily informational, but now that it's increasingly communal, we get a lot of our social needs met there. We're certainly at risk for, developing the things like depression, anxiety, and whatnot. Nick Carr wrote an interesting book called The Shallows several years ago, and it kind of dealt with the kind of fragmenting of our attention span as a result of frequent internet usage as well, which, you know, so there's all of these effects that we maybe don't necessarily consider.
And the article suggests that possibly if you go see a counselor, they may, rather than giving you meds for anxiety or depression, may say, you know, get off of your phone or get off of social media or video games for a month. So, all right. Hey, Jason, we're done for a Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Sounds good. You bet.
Have a good one. Thanks. All right, WWIB, it's a Make Us Laugh Monday, and we're running ahead of time here this morning, 16 in front of 7 o'clock, 50 degrees. We've got our buddy, our counselor, comedian, Drew Fralick from Detroit, Michigan, on the line. We're not talking NFL football at all because we know how that goes. So we're just going to move right on to the next subject, which is candy corn. Now, I thought I had audio of Matthew McConaughey, the actor who may run for governor of Texas, talking about it. This is actually impressions. It's a sports writer. They don't have his name. They said it's a sports writer who is doing Matthew McConaughey talking about candy corn, but I think it touches a nerve. Here's what he says. Yep, I could probably play it from the beginning.
Candy is the corn. What's the deal? This dilemma and confectionery dichotomy has plagued us for generations, but the truth is the actual corn plant has no idea what it is either. Is it a grain? Is it a vegetable? Is it a fruit? The maze mysteries and scientist minds abound to this very day.
There we go. So just a little bit. So candy corn, is it controversial? Did you find out? What'd you find out, Drew?
Well, I guess I need to apologize to you, Mark, because we were talking about this on Saturday night, and you said that people have strong feelings one way or the other.
Right.
I was like, I don't know about that. You know, like, do people really care? So, anyways, I was wrong. I went to a church potluck yesterday, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, hey, how do you guys feel about candy corn?
Uh-huh.
And people just, like, out just these wild
strong
opinions
feelings. Uh-huh.
Were coming out of the woodwork.
Like, yeah.
People were getting very upset. Mostly, I would say, mostly negative.
Okay.
You know, I know you're a big, you love your candy corn, you told me.
No. I mean, I think I can temper it when I say I love it. I mean, I don't hate it. So.
Is that how candy corn works? It's either you hate it or don't hate it. You strongly don't hate it.
I mean, you tell me what the people at the potluck, what were the haters?
I mean, the one lady told me, she was like, you know, candy corn nearly killed me. She said, I have diabetes, and I almost was done in by candy corn. You
okay,
know?
That's not a laughing matter, then. My apologies.
Well, I tricked you there, you know. It's,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
But, I mean, so she was upset. Another lady chimed in, right? It was like all of a sudden this impromptu power ranking of, like, Halloween candy started to happen.
Yeah.
One guy rocks up, just starts screaming Reese's Pieces for no reason. One lady was like, you know, I was like, I think that candy corn is pretty popular in Wisconsin. I was talking to my friend in Wisconsin. They said they all love it.
Yeah.
And she goes, if it's so popular, why is it on the clearance rack at CVS in December?
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, they're selling it at the checkout line at TJ Maxx in February because nobody wants it. They just keep throwing it down the line. So people got very upset, you know. And then it made me reflect on, like, what is my favorite Halloween candy? And I feel like it's a pretty hip choice. It's retro.
Okay.
100 grand candy bars. That's my favorite. I've always loved those.
$100,000 bars.
Is that what they're called?
Isn't that?
We just call them 100 grand.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, so it's got the chocolate and kind of like a Rice Krispie type thing and caramel too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know where candy corn is made?
I do not.
We looked it up. It's made, this won't surprise you, made in Philly.
Okay.
So you can... Right there, that's already, you know, raising a few red
that
flags.
That sours us on it a little bit. Thank
like
you, Drew.
Imagine the guy who's making candy corn. Yeah, I appreciate it. So see you next week.
There's an education in candy corn this morning here on WWIB. Our weekend highlights here, Caleb and I recapping for you on a Monday morning, and we look forward to Susan's return probably a week from today, I'm thinking. Caleb, it was the highlighted over the weekend, certainly the Packer victory. I'm glad. What a crazy game, right?
Up and down and up and down.
Yeah, it was really something. I mean, just back and forth. Feels a lot better when you win, though, so they're 4-1. But food-related highlights for me. Because on Saturday, I'm working here, but I see on Facebook a couple of different people posting a picture of rotisserie chicken and mushroom soup.
Mm, okay.
Do you get that? Where you see certain items on social media, like cooking, and you go, boy, you want to taste it almost.
You can almost smell it through the screen.
And so I got myself a rotisserie chicken after work. And the portobello mushrooms, the baby Bellas, and put it together. And my wife, some double thumbs up, other family members. So there you go. It's a new recipe. And then the other highlight Sunday morning, still don't find the Casa Mamita burritos at Aldi. They're not there right now, but settling for some Walmart burritos, beef and bean preferred. But trying to go, a lot of times I'll break the yolk when I try to make my over medium fried eggs. Two no breaks happening yesterday.
In
I was
one
able
day.
To flip them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So those are my weekend highlights.
There you go. Well, yeah, so I went up to Superior for that Chi High football game and great win by the Cards and their playoff eligible now. And
awesome.
So, yeah, that was a late night getting back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was by the time I finished up some things here, wee hours of the morning. So I'd like to say I slept in on Friday. Nora really didn't allow that, but I kind of spent the rest of the day, honestly, just kind of lazing around. There was a lot of football to be watched, some movies and things. So, yeah, ran a few errands, but for the most part, laid around a lot on Saturday, watched a good amount of football on Sunday, and then enjoyed just a beautiful, beautiful sunset last night and tossing around a football with Cooper in the backyard. And then he and Nora and I were jumping on the trampoline. And honestly, even though there were some great football games, loved seeing Alabama go down. Just loved that.
Me too.
Gig 'em, go Aggies. But I have to say probably the highlight of the weekend was playing outside with my kids yesterday evening, even after all the sports were done. So just a little reminder to myself to prioritize because that was the best part. That
there
was
you
the
go.
Best.
Stop trying to amuse yourself and start thinking about what makes actual human beings laugh.
It's a lot of pressure to make people laugh. I mean, the people we got, I saw one of the letters here, October Connect Month. They said they really like the Make Us Laugh Monday. The jokes, this is the joke time.
That's one person. That's fantastic.
You got to start somewhere. So tell you what, I'm going to just go with two. There's two I feel good about.
All right.
So I think you might have three, so why don't you start us off?
All right. You know what, Halvo? I don't know if you know about this, my routine, but I do 10 sit-ups every morning.
Good job.
It might not sound like much, but there are only so many times you can hit the snooze button.
I like it. I'll tell you what. What do you call a wreath made of $100 bills?
I don't know.
Aretha Franklin's.
Oh, goodness. What do lawyers wear when they go to court?
What?
Their lawsuits.
Uh-huh, yeah. This is my last one. If you wait long enough to cook dinner, everyone will eat cereal. Follow me for more recipes.
Oh, and finally, here on a Maker's Laugh Monday, we would love your jokes at 715-396-1670. Leave us a voicemail. Did you know, Halvo, fun fact, that alligators can grow up to 15 feet?
Really?
Yeah, but most only have four.
Ah, there you go. I liked your first one the best.
All right. Make us laugh Monday. What can you add to the party? 715-396-1670. Let us know. Leave a voicemail, and maybe you'll get someone else to chuckle a little bit more than
it helps
you did.
To have levity on a Monday, though, doesn't it?
Indeed. It's a good way to start the week.
What a crazy Packers game we had yesterday. And the Vikings game, too, I guess, for the Viking fans out there. They went on a 54-yard field goal over the Lions. But for the Packers and Bengals, a back-and-forth game. And Caleb, Green Bay enjoying an 8-point lead. Cincinnati gets that late touchdown and the 2-point conversion. And Aaron Jones, a long run. And then it just all kind of was back-and-forth of empty, right?
Well, you know what they say? What was it? ABC's World of Sports. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. I felt like I was moments away from both of those so many times yesterday afternoon, and I didn't know how to cope with all the emotions.
Exactly. So we've put together a montage. I don't have every missed field goal. There were so many, we'd be here all day. But it takes you from late in regulation until the end of yesterday's game in 77 seconds.
Let's relive it. Hold on to your armrests.
36-yard attempt. Crosby, 3 for 3 today. And this one is no good. For the lead from 57 yards away. Jackson's kick is off the upright. No good. From the left hash, Crosby, 3-for-4 this afternoon. His kick from 51 yards out.
No good.
It's no good. Kicker is a combined 0-for-3 down the stretch, and here we are in sudden death. 10 minutes. Tied at 22. Looking. Now he throws, and it is Randall Cobb who makes the catch at the Cincinnati 31-yard line for the win. From the left hash, 2 minutes remaining in overtime. Crosby's kick, this time, is good. From goat to hero, Crosby wins it in overtime for the Green Bay Packers.
The thrill of victory. Agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is.
Havo, I think that reverberating dung is just going to live on in my memory.
It was so crazy.
I mean, it was us and that, the poor Cincinnati kicker, McPherson, he had the one where he hit the flag at the very top of the upright, and he was celebrating. He thought he made it. He was that close.
There you go. And the other one from 57 yards out hitting it in the crossbar. So.
Yeah, it was just what a crazy, crazy game. But yes, there was leaping and there was dancing and there was high-fiving between me and my son.
But a win is a win, right?
Win's a win. The Packers are 4-1.
The Whip Wake Up Show here on a Monday, a Make Us Laugh Monday. Still open for your jokes, the final 13 minutes of the show. But let's go back about 145 years because the Old Farmer's Almanac from 1877 published lists, yes, lists, not just weather predictions, right, Caleb, that we think of, but lists for husbands and wives to help them make their spouses happy.
From 1877.
Yeah, so we should do husbands first?
Yeah, let's do husbands first.
All right, how to make your husband happy.
All right, so from the Farmer's Almanac in 1877, it said, try to do not only what your husband wishes in household matters, but also when and how he wishes.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Another suggestion was do not neglect neatness of person and surroundings.
Again, we're going to get to the get to the husbands on the other side. From How to Make Your Husband Happy in 1877, the Farmer's Almanac, never speak slightingly or bitterly of or to your husband, especially in the presence of other people. Now, absolutely on board with that one, too, because it's, again, you know, not gossiping, but also being able to have good things, fruits of the spirit coming from
and
your mouth.
And that can go both ways, obviously. Wife both to husband, ways. Husband to wife. Yeah, and this last one from 1877, How to Make Your Husband Happy, the Farmer's Almanac. Speak gently always and do not allow your voice to become sharp and loud. Control of the voice helps to control the temper.
All right, now let's make the guys feel guilty. From the Farmer's Almanac in 1877, How to Make Your Wife Happy. Treat your wife as politely and kindly as when you were wooing her. Again, 1877, but think about when you were dating and be that kind, that nice, that thoughtful.
I mean, that's a great suggestion for today, right? That's timeless. Here's another one, How to Make Your Wife Happy from 1877, Farmer's Almanac. If your dinner does not suit you, do not spoil her appetite by scolding her about it at the time, but give whatever suggestions are needed after dinner.
So, or yes, you could help make dinner, too.
The perception then much more maybe that she was doing the cooking.
Again, an asterisk here because this is from 1877. Uh-huh. It says, share your pleasures and your cares with her and show that you value her society and her advice. Uh-huh. Oh, I think that still holds true 145 years later.
Absolutely. My wife's my number one counselor. Do not speak lightly of her cares and fatigues, but sympathize with her troubles, whether small or great. An invitation to empathy.
There you go. And finally, from 1877, the Farmer's Almanac, How to Make Your Wife Happy. Try to gratify her fancies, such as flower gardens or conveniences about her daily work. She'll be reminded of your consideration or neglect many times every day by these little things.
Now, there are some adjustments in terms of some cultural changes, but by and large, some acts of kindness and thoughtfulness are just timeless.
Yeah, I mean, in love languages, I see those coming through here. And again, considering and preferring your mate above yourself, that's pretty timeless. Farmer's Almanac, I think they got quite a few of them on target here.